Thanks for joining us once again. This is Jonathan Baleem. I'm sitting here with Greg Taylor and Mark Martin, and we're just talking a little bit about church growth and the organizational structure of the Adventist Church and how they've changed in their ministries after Adventism. And so what I want to open up with is, how has the role of the Holy Spirit impacted your church in growth, Greg?
Well, it's hard for me to speak to numerical growth mm-hmm. in my local congregation because I'm fairly new where I'm at. I have seen tremendous life change. Mm-hmm. And to me, leaving Adventism, there was a tremendous boost in power, personal power, as the Holy Spirit began to become the driving force in me as a pastor. I'm not as exhausted as I used to be. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit does in me what I was trying to do many times in the flesh. And so, you know, I really don't focus a whole lot on or worry a whole lot about church growth because the growth happens. It's just bringing people into the presence of the Lord and studying the Word and allowing Him to bring forth the fruit mm-hmm. in a natural process. And lives just change. It's mm-hmm. it's a completely different thing than what I had thought within Adventism. That's mm-hmm. more or less my understanding.
You know, I think it's interesting that you said the power came when you left.
Yes,
A.F. Ballinger, who was nearly a century ago when he left the Adventist Church, big deal when he left. He went on to write a book that's just excellent. It's called Power for Witnessing. And in fact, I don't know if he had written it while he's still Adventist or not, but his great emphasis was on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I found the same thing because I was kind of afraid of the Holy Spirit, never understood Him, used to refer to Him as it, mm-hmm. didn't understand the person and the work and power of the Holy Spirit. And about a year after leaving Adventism, the Lord showed me that there's a threefold work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's with us, leading us to Christ. And the moment we're saved, He's in us, sealing us. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 1:18 talks about how He is the seal of God. The Holy Spirit is. And Ephesians 4:30 and other passages say that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He comes in us, and I'm now a child of God. And then He wants to come upon us to give us power from on high. That's the epi word in Greek. And Jesus says, you will receive the Holy Spirit, and He will come upon you, mm-hmm. and you should be my witnesses. And when I receive that upon power, some call it the baptism with the Holy Spirit, some call it being filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't need to get into arguments over it. Mm-hmm. You just need the power of the Holy Spirit. Power, first of all, to change your own personal life. No dark places, no secret hidden things, but the Lord has lordship of all your life. Then the power when you're teaching and ministering, like you were saying, you're not tired anymore. I mean, you're tired, but you've got the anointing, this grace God gives you to be able to do the ministry, the work of the ministry. And I came to the point I couldn't do it myself. I felt powerless. I was ready to quit after the first year of starting Calvary, went out to quit. And it was that night that the Lord filled me with the power of the Holy Spirit. My life and ministry have never been the same. So that's kind of, the power of the Holy Spirit. He is where it's at, and He is so needed. And I would say that the guys that are hungry for it, for this power, I would recommend D.L. Moody's book, Secret Power. Dwight L. Moody, over 100 years ago, a great evangelist, worldwide evangelist, and he wrote a book called Secret Power. It's not charismatic or non-charismatic. It's just talking about the in, with, and upon, or the with, in, and upon work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. And you can get it. You can order that book online go to Amazon or someplace. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to start. And then talk to us, I've got a series mm-hmm. on the power of the Holy Spirit, too. But be happy to share. Jonathan, I know you would, too.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, the church has grown magnificently and up to the point where it's now in the top top 50 of fastest growing churches in America. How does that happen? I mean, how many evangelistic crusades do you do per year, or how many tent meetings are you doing, or
right.
or door to door? Are you guys knocking door to door? How's it happening? Because I know as a former Adventist, the way that we reached out to people was we had meetings. So what kind of meetings do you guys do here at Calvary?
Well, how did the church grow? That's a good question. I'm still in awe of what God has done, because it's been by the Lord's Spirit. Interestingly, when the church, we went from 100 to 1,100 in 12 months. Mm-hmm. And in the last less than seven years, the church has doubled from 6,000 to 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been stupendous to watch the Lord do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all the Lord, and it's all Him, and to praise of His glory, of His grace. But when there was a little bit of growth, I think 10 people, 8 people showed up one Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go out to visit them, because
mm-hmm.
that's what I'd been taught in the Adventist church, was, you know, you go visit people and you keep pastors will understand this, kind of holding hands to, mm-hmm. to get people to keep coming back. And that's not unique to Adventism. That's that's common to a lot of church ideas of church growth. Well, I was mid-intersection of a major intersection here to go visit these people with my wife, and I was thinking, how am I going to get all these people visited tonight, Lord? And the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't hear a voice or anything, but it was just this thought, did you bring them? Where did they come from? And I thought, no, I didn't bring them. And the Lord said, well, you didn't bring them, and you're not going to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
Go home. And that was the end of our visitation program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't visit anymore. We still care deeply for the flock. We don't have evangelistic meetings. We teach verse by verse through the Bible, and as the Holy Spirit leads, we'll give invitations for people to accept the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it will be what appears to me to be totally off the wall, but the Lord will just give me, like, I'm not teaching anything evangelistic.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's in between songs, and I'll give an invitation. And there will be scores of people who give their lives to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon to see there have been weeks where hundreds have accepted Christ, especially
mm-hmm.
we see Easter, Christmas,
mm-hmm.
there'll be hundreds. Others, there'll be 100 people in 7 days.
Wow.
What is this? I think it's just having an ear open to the Lord and giving the Holy Spirit it sounds like we're giving you permission. I don't mean that. But having the tools, the gospel,
mm-hmm.
grace, the Holy Spirit wants to place people in a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure our churches are safe places where the gospel's preached and the people won't be abused. They'll be treated right.
I want you to talk a little bit more about that, because I can remember as an Adventist, I used to, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to go out and plant a church. So I went to every major ministry throughout the country and visited them. And I'll talk to the leaders and I'll say, how did you grow this church? And they'll say, it was the Lord. And mm-hmm. and that seemed like a canned response. So I know that there's a lot of Adventist ministers who are out there saying, yeah, right, it's because you brought in a praise band or something.
Oh, yeah.
What really?
Well, I did have a real great Adventist leader who came to talk to me more recently, just a sweet guy. We enjoyed a whole afternoon together. And he was listening, and he says, look, your church is huge. How did it happen? You got what did you do? And I gave him that same response. Well, it was the Lord. Well, that's what everybody says.
Yeah.
What did you do? And what was the changing point? And I can point to a couple of things. One of them was, but I don't think it was the,
mm-hmm.
I still will say it's the Lord. But I came to the place where I wasn't worried about numbers anymore.
Mm.
Contrary to church growth stuff,
mm-hmm.
I just decided I'm going to feed the flock the best food they could get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was my heart. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean it's the best food anywhere, but that was going to be my heart. Secondly, I just decided that I'd do whatever the Lord wanted to do. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So really we come back to the same thing.
It's the Lord.
It was the Lord. Amen. It's not me. I think contentment is an important thing for ministers. Mm-hmm. I do talk to Adventist pastors who are frustrated because they want to do. They see this and they see the glorious things God is doing. And in their heart, they know that is where they would love to be, but can't get there because there are intrinsic limitations to what you want to do, what you could do, you know. We don't have those limitations at Calvary. We can decide to support a mission. We can decide to plant a church, and we've planted 7 or 8 churches through the years. We can decide to preach a series and not have to worry about if we're going to get in trouble or not. I don't think it's been the music or that's been the anything but the Lord honoring His Word. You know, faithfully teach verse by verse through the Bible. I think sometimes you don't see that happening in some denominational churches because if you did that, that would cause reformation if you preach verse by verse through the Word.
Yeah, it would change things. Now, Greg, you mentioned earlier that you are no longer tired to do the ministry. And you have a power that you just, you know, a contentment that allows you to do ministry that you didn't have before. And my question is, how does the organizational structure of the Adventist Church kind of set ministers up for burnout?
I want to clarify something. I do get tired, but I'm not tired of what I'm doing. Okay. I get tired in it sometimes, but I don't get I don't live in feelings of frustration. And I think within Adventism there were several things. First of all, I didn't really understand what it really meant to be fully filled with the Holy Spirit because I had limiting factors, and there were some integrity issues, not because I was living in any kind of particular sin per se. I'm a vulnerable person, and I would fall in areas from time to time, but the integrity is so important to the Lord. Honesty is important to the Lord. And when you're in a situation where you kind of have to play a political game, that is draining. You know, people would ask me, you know, about Ellen White. Well, I knew the issues with Ellen White, but yet I want to be supportive of my organization. So how do I do that? Well, you know, sometimes people would ask me, well, do you believe in the spirit of prophecy? Well, I'd say, you know, Ellen White talks about how she shouldn't be used from the pulpit. But you won't hear her. We don't use her a lot from the pulpit here because that was her word that she shouldn't be used that way. But if you're acquainted with her writings, you'll hear some of the things that she said as I speak. Well, what was I doing? I was saying, leaving the impression that I was very much supportive of Ellen White, more so than I really was. I didn't ever undercut her to people, but I wanted to appear supportive so that it wouldn't hurt me or my family or hurt my church or whatever. That takes a lot of energy out of a person to be a person. And for me, I'm not a dynamic preacher. I'm not someone that's got just great wit and all these things. The only thing that I have going for me is my integrity. Now, I've got to speak from my heart, and as I share what the Lord's put on my heart from my heart and what He's doing in my life, people are attracted to that, and it grows them as God is growing me. Follow me as I follow the Lord. So if there's any shred of dishonesty, it's going to affect your ministry. You can't play games, and that to me is exhausting to try to be in a system like that. So Adventism is limiting in the sense that I believe there's a lot of Adventist pastors that go along with a certain amount of that because of the organization that they really, really, if they were to sit down with us here today, just us, and their name would never be mentioned.
That's right.
And I know scores of people like this that would say, you know what, guys, I'm with you.
And I would love, wouldn't you, Greg, wouldn't you just love, Jonathan, to be able to say, you know, push buttons. You're free. Yeah. You're free.
Oh, we'd love to.
I would love. It would just be so cool, and to see them in a church, large or small, you know, far or near, just serving God the way they want to serve God without the limitations. Oh,
yes,
I would love to see that.
Yeah. And Mark, you and I were talking the other day about a book that we. It's called something saving your ministry from the
liberating the ministry from the success syndrome by Kent Hughes. What
it's just a powerful book. You know, it's not about numbers.
Yeah,
no,
we're serving an audience of one, and our ministries. If we are living, if we are in ministry with integrity, and it's pleasing to the Lord, and He's delighted in us, it doesn't make any difference whether your church is a church of 50, or 5,000, or 10,000. It's about being faithful with what God has given you and the gifts within that, and to know that your ministry is significant. It may not be prominent, but it's significant. Mm-hmm. To live within that takes all the stress off. I am a success because why? Because Jesus died for me, and He lives in me, and I am walking in integrity with Him as He leads me.
And you're faithful.
And faithful.
Because faithfulness is the coinage of the kingdom. You know, it's... Lord's going to repay us in the rewards according to faithfulness.
Right.
It's and not according to numbers.
Yeah.
So in the kingdom of heaven, that's significance.
Yeah.
And sometimes He's going to say to some of us, I'm going to put you in prominence now because you've been faithful over little things. I'll make you a ruler over many things. He will do that. But success starts in the little stuff.
And the little stuff, again, getting back to not falling to the, well, I'll just be faithful in the Adventist ministry, because that's where God has me. But wait a second. If you know the truth, then faithfulness also means I will follow the truth wherever it leads me.
Absolutely.
That's that integrity. And that's where you, Greg, and Jonathan, and I can think of many, many others have. Okay, and you might be an Adventist dentist or doctor or lawyer or, you know, some professional, or you're just grandma someplace or grandpa. Faithfulness means following Jesus and following the truth wherever it leads us.
Right.
And sometimes it's surprising, sometimes it's devastating, but always blessed, you know. In the long term, it will always be the way of God's blessing.
Well, and theological integrity. Is far bigger than I ever believed possible. And I think that much of the power of the Holy Spirit that came on me was proportionate to my willingness to say, okay, Lord, if it costs me my livelihood, if it costs me every friend I have in the world, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, and I'm not going to play games anymore. I want to be 100% yours no matter what it costs. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in power, because He has a vessel, and God knows how weak I am and how I mess up. You know, it's not perfection, but it is an openness saying, you are the Lord of my life, and I'm not gonna hide anything. Mm-hmm. I want to be a man of integrity.
Well, I wish you would have been there when I was leaving the Adventist Church. It would have been very encouraging. Don't you think, Jonathan? I mean, it would have been so neat to have somebody encouraging me that way.
Yeah. Greg, I want to point this out, because a lot of times I know I've heard from other Adventist ministers when I was still an Adventist that the reason why some of these guys leave is because they're failing. They're not making it in the Adventist ministry. You had a successful Adventist ministry, 20 years in the ministry, churches that you went to that grew, doubled in size. Can you speak a little bit about that and the challenges that you faced organizationally, politically, because of how the structure is set up and how it impacted your ministry and how that has changed after you've left?
Well, God grew the churches that we were in and the youth ministries and the other things that we were in. And every single time He provided growth. And we were grateful for that. But the limiting, there was something missing.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was that the Holy Spirit integrity piece is the number one thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say integrity, not because we were being non-integrous, because we followed as God led us. but there were those limiting factors of, mm-hmm. of some theological issues. The other thing that is a difficulty is the tithing system. Mm-hmm. Tithe is a biblical principle, or giving, or generosity, or whatever. But what a problem is that as an Adventist pastor, and I would bet that almost every Adventist pastor that's listening to this would say, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you are theologically. It is an issue that when you take 100% of your local tithe that comes in and send it off to the conference office, that's huge. The conference that I served in, and I wrote a paper on this, and I don't have all the statistics fresh, mm-hmm. but I'll just say that about 30% of the tithe dollar actually went back into pastors' salaries. Another 40% went to the educational system. And the rest of it went to the unions and the general conference and other things. So when your local dollar is that far spent, you know, and of course that along with some of the pastors' salaries would be pastors that serve in the conference. The church system that I'm in right now, we have one quotes conference president and a couple of part-time assistants that also pastor churches. He's the only one that doesn't mm-hmm. is not pastoring a church. And he has a secretary. In the conference office where I serve, which was, you know, comparable mm-hmm. Maybe with the number of churches and that kind of thing, there were at least 25 people, full-time FTDs in the conference office. Mm-hmm. Our tithe dollar, why could we, you know, we would pay our tithe dollars there. Well, our local secretarial help had to be hired by our local congregation, but our tithe, because that tithe couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But our tithe could be used once it went to the conference office, then it could be used for secretarial help there and then up at the union.
Now, you wrote an article. Did the article get published, or is it available online or someplace?
You can go online if you type in sometimes it comes under my name, mm-hmm. Under Greg Taylor or Gregory Taylor. Sometimes it'll pop up under Stop Strangling the Goose. Mm-hmm. It was an article published by Adventist Today in the year – in 2000. I can't remember which month. 2001. And it was essentially the idea of Aesop's fable where the goose that was laying the golden egg mm-hmm. and he goes out and he strangles the goose to get the golden egg and finds out there's no golden egg inside. And that the denominational system in Adventism is extremely top-heavy. Mm-hmm. And that top-heaviness strangles the local churches. And it's very difficult to build a church with that kind of outflow.
Mm-hmm. Well, because a church has to live on income beyond the tithe. That's why I've talked to ministers and they have, you know, they're careful not to voice this concern too much because it's a quick way out the door.
Yes, it is.
But their parking lots are crumbling, their carpets rolling up, you know, falling apart, their pews are broken down, mm-hmm. their roof is leaking, and they don't have the money to even hire a secretary or a janitor or anything. The church is it's such a – it just seems so crazy to send your money all away for the top everything. I have a question, though. How could you change it if the men who would be voting to change it would be voting to cut their own salaries?
See, that's part of the problem. And along with that, many of those very men and women have, are not involved in ministry anymore. So they're making decisions about ministry that many of them are many, many years removed from it. Some of them never even served in the local church level. So even though you'll hear within Adventism, we believe in the local church, when it comes right down to it, the local church is subservient to the conference. Mm. And the conference is what's important, at least in the minds of most conference people. So the promotion in Adventism is to be called up to be in the conference office as opposed mm-hmm. to being the local church pastor. And so why would someone want to take away the benefits, the traveling opportunities, the prestige of being in the conference mm-hmm. to go back to a local church? And so what ends up happening is there are some large churches that have attracted wonderful pastors, but oftentimes somebody gets pretty good. You know, things start really happening in their church, and they get bumped upstairs to the office. And
the big office.
Yes.
One thing that a lot of Adventist ministers have said to me when I've presented that side of it has been that, well, these people who are talking about the, you know, changing the way the tithe system works don't really get the mission of the Adventist Church. The Adventist Church has such a worldwide ministry. We have schools, we have hospitals throughout the world, we have ADRA, we have all these relief agencies that are doing an amazing work out there, and the local church is what supports that. And so, therefore, if we were to do away with the way the tithing system is set up right now, we would lose all those ministries that we support throughout the world. And so, Mark, if you could just shed light on that and also kind of tell us how many missionaries and other world missions projects your church has done from the local level.
Well, I think you could be even more effective if there wasn't the huge weight of bureaucracy that there is in Adventism. You don't need the union conferences at all. You could combine a lot of state conferences, regional conferences into one. You just don't need it. It is then that money could go, first of all, to make the local church healthy. Without a healthy church, mm-hmm. you can't reproduce. Mm-hmm. You can have a whole lot of evangelistic meetings. You can do them by satellite, telecast and all. But you're not going to hold on to the converts. Mm-hmm. They're going to be going out the back door because you don't have a healthy local church. Mm-hmm. You don't have training, ministry, Bible teaching, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, or facilities for mm-hmm. one thing. Then a healthy church, certainly the local church can do huge things. In combination with other churches, yes, you can do a lot. But we have over 100 missionaries mm-hmm. in Asia, India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, the Philippines, mm-hmm. Burma. We have missions in Africa, in Thailand. We've built most of an orphanage, mm-hmm. Nice, good-sized orphanage in Thailand. We are involved in Central America in missions to Honduras, extremely fruitful outreaches. And then within our own city, mm-hmm. Television, radio, feeding the homeless, mm-hmm. Within our own church, feeding people, helping people. So there is a tremendous joy when you're not just getting a mission story printed, but mm-hmm. you've had a part and you really know where the money is going yeah. and you really know. Mm-hmm. So I think local churches can have a huge impact.
And would you say that the members at your church feel a sense of ownership in their world outreach that they're involved in?
Absolutely. Our problem is keeping them updated with all we're doing. We could mm-hmm. take an hour every Sunday just talking about all we're doing, and we'd never get to the Word. Mm-hmm. So that's our – it's not that, oh, we don't have enough money to do stuff with. We want to be good stewards of it, but there's so much going on and mm-hmm. so many opportunities, and new things appear all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we prayerfully consider what are we going to do, and mm-hmm. people get excited.
Yeah,
might be buying a bus or ministering in one of the former Soviet republics. I mean, so many things happening. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see a huge amount of people in heaven that we've never known, but they're going to be in heaven because of outreach.
Yes.
So I think there is a little bit of a weakness that you don't have to support a huge bureaucracy and pay people that have nothing to do really with ministry, mm-hmm. with your money, with the offerings that God's people give. I mean, there's so much done and so much waste many denominational systems mm-hmm. because there isn't a lot of accountability, or it's so huge, accountability is lost. Mm-hmm. And it's just the line, support the system, now support – it's God's system, now mm-hmm. support it. How could mm-hmm. you – it's God's system. Well, God would want you to use your brain mm-hmm. and to be thoughtful and to ask questions. There's never any problem with asking questions if the mm-hmm. Lord's involved.
Yes, absolutely. My last question, as an Adventist, I had a misunderstanding of authority. If you guys can touch on that, I'm going to give you both the opportunity to answer both. On authority, being submitted and plugged in and planted at the local church, what was your experience like pastoring in Adventist churches with cultivating members that were plugged in, planted at that church, and also understood your role as their pastor? And how has that changed after Adventism?
You know, there's a wide range of ways in Christianity mm-hmm. that different church systems handle their church governing. There's mm-hmm. the congregational approach. There's the elder model. There's the pastor leader model. And a combination. The church that I serve in is kind of like a combination between pastor led and elder led. Those two things work together. Mm-hmm. Our denominational system has a leader, like I'd mentioned, and that is a covering, mm-hmm. someone who I can call to bounce ideas off, but it's not heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found in Adventism was that, you know, the conference really was the authority structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the board, it's very difficult for a pastor because a pastor is responsible to the board, responsible to the conference, responsible to the general conference. Mm-hmm. But when does the pastor say, this is what God's telling us to do, let's mm-hmm. do it? And there's a certain amount that needs to be able to be because, you know, to where Paul says, you know, follow me as I follow Christ, we have to have enough liberty to be able to follow, to call our people to follow us as we follow Christ. So I think that's – I've had a lot more liberty mm-hmm. outside of Adventism because in that particular arena, but still maintaining the mutual accountability with some other pastors, with a person who oversees my mm-hmm. my ministry within – the church system that I'm in right now, honesty and openness are just part of life. But within Adventism, I felt a guardedness because there was always that feeling that I don't want to say it this. I don't know how else to say it other than Big Brother's watching.
Mm-hmm.
There was a when you're part of a highly sectarian system. With highly established rules and guidelines, it is difficult to talk what's really on your heart. I found that within Adventism, a lot of pastors would speak when it was just us, when we had an opportunity to talk about stuff that was concerns on our hearts that we never would feel safe sharing in a public setting, mm-hmm. because. And that's just the struggles of our hearts. You just don't let people see you sweat in a legalistic system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that all Adventist systems are legalistic in some sense. I mean, there are people that are grace-oriented people there. But by and large, when you have a lot of rules
mm-hmm.
and you have a lot of – there's a lot of pressure that goes with that.
Pastor Mark, what would you add to that?
Well, what's your – you've been at Calvary a few months. You know, you've been observing and watching. What would you say? I'll let you kind of. I mean, I can say. What do you observe?
You're an open book, and it seems as if
you've been in our house. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been everywhere. So it's just
open book, open heart, and it's something different because I feel as if the people who are plugged in here can really see your heart, can really see that, oh, Pastor Mark is not necessarily the perfect person who has the perfect life. Nothing bad ever happens to him. He doesn't ever get angry. It's not like that. It's just, here's another man who is my spiritual mentor or covering and everything, but he struggles too, and in his triumphs, I can see where I'm lacking in my life. I can also experience victory mm-hmm. as well, and so that's just It's different. And I wouldn't say that's an Adventist thing, maybe, Greg. I think it's more of just like your heart for ministry and to being a real shepherd to your flock.
I would love for Adventist pastors to come and observe, just come to Calvary and see, to meet the staff. We have a large staff, but there isn't the politics. There isn't the associate pastors fighting with, struggling, wanting somebody else's position. There's not the jockeying of authority and the elders versus somebody else. There just isn't that going on. It is a sweet thing in the spirit. Hey, we have our trials. Sometimes, we don't agree, but we don't move ahead until we do agree.
Yeah.
Because that would be what the Spirit wants. I go into one of the pastor's office, I'll cry.
Yeah.
I'll say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I'm being tempted this way. Could you pray for me? I have no problem doing that. I would much rather go get prayer for something than to fall.
Yeah.
And it's not reality. The reality is we're not perfect.
Yeah.
So why are we pretending?
Exactly. I was telling my dad.
Love to be perfect.
I was telling my dad a few weeks back that one thing that has been a blessing and made a major impression on my life being at Calvary and also observing other churches that have the same type of DNA has been seeing that there's this large pastoral staff and other people who teach and lead out in different ministries in the church, where you have very anointed, gifted men of God who can divide the scripture rightly and so forth throughout the entire ministry. But there's not this feeling of, I've got to get on there and preach, I've got to do this, I need to go out and start my own little congregation across town somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like, you know what? This is where the Lord has me. I'm gonna. If I'm in the men's ministry, this is where I'm serving. And if I'm in the children's, you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone knows that God has placed them where they are in their ministry positions for the sake of doing the same thing.
Right.
It may be that you're up front preaching and teaching in the main sanctuary, but the work that custodian is doing and cleaning up is just as powerful as far as preaching the gospel, because they're doing it in the place where the Lord has put them in.
That's right. We can do more together than we can ever do apart, and our guys all are working with the idea that, well, God has called me to this. I know what I'm called to.
Yeah.
They know what they're called to. I'm always thinking, because our church is linked by media to three different sanctuaries and the coffee shop and sometimes six venues, and I'm thinking how the people, the congregation never sees and people on internet never see, but there's my brother in the recording studio right now who's been sitting here for hours. They're the program directors of, there's people running sound, there's people ushering. I mean, everybody's important.
Yeah.
And we're just all mutually submitted to one another under Christ.
Yeah.
And we're servants.
Absolutely.
It's a servant leadership. And, man, it makes all the difference.
Yes.
And I know it's made Calvary a really sweet place. I would like to put a little plug here for, if maybe you can't come here and see Calvary, and we'd love to, like I said, show you some hospitality and, love you, and you can stay an Adventist as far as I'm concerned, believe it or not. But it would be neat for you to get a hold of a video that we just put out for our 25th anniversary.
Mm.
Can't believe it's 25 years. But it's a video that's entitled Growing in Grace, and I think it's one of the best views of a healthy church and what God can do in ministry. And I'd love for you to get a hold of it. I'll give it to you if you write. And you saw it when it was
at the premiere
at the theater. Yeah.
Not a dry eye anywhere. Cried five times watching it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, you guys. Greg, you want to wrap it up
here? I just wanted to say something. As one of those pastors who decided to come out and took you up on the invitation, and because I had some questions to ask. This was shortly before we left Adventism. The genuineness of what was going on here and the authenticity, some of the things that you were talking about, Jonathan. A place where you can be open and be who you are. To watch what God's up to. No agendas, just glorify God and serve one another. That's what the New Testament church was all about, and that's what I believe Calvary is all about. That's where my heart is. And it was very much worth the while to just come and ask the Lord some questions and say, you know, Lord, what's happening here? Why is it happening? What's going on? And that hospitality invitation isn't just a, you know, little blowing hot air. It really was true. The church was truly hospitable. And we made some friends here that we, you know, just in that bit of time that was just wonderful. And I just recommend doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, and as we close up here, I really just want to take a second to really, really thank you guys for your ministries. I was that young guy who came over here and just you just took me in, Pastor Mark, and just it's just been awesome serving here, Pastor Greg. It's what the Lord has done in your ministry, how he's led you. It's your story is an inspiration. You know, just to know that there have been other people who have these questions, who were able to take God up and say, you know what, if I take this step, you're going to be there to catch my foot, you know. And just watching your life, it's a powerful testimony. And I thank you. And I praise God for you guys.
Praise the Lord. You know? It's the
God
Lord.
God is faithful.
Yeah,
he sure is.
He really, really is. And so let me just go close this up and just with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you so much, God. What you're doing is beyond our comprehension. We don't see ourselves as better than anybody else or more gifted than anybody else, Lord, but we see ourselves as co-laborers in your vineyard, Lord, trying to allow your Holy Spirit to work in our lives so that many people will be saved, Lord. And right now, we just want to lift up all the different Adventist pastors and ministers, educators, Lord, and just members of churches, Lord. Just lift them up to you, Lord. I ask that you will speak to their hearts, Lord. Bother them in the ways that need to be bothered, Lord, so that they may be convicted to see that there is something more that you have in store for them, Lord. Help the Adventist pastor that may be listening to this recording. Just know that there's others who have had those questions, who have dealt with those conflicts and those struggles in their ministries, and they decided to just take you up on your word and walk by faith and allow you to build the church, to build their ministries, Lord. And may they be encouraged to pick up the phone and call or just email us and just reach out to others who have left with good conscience and found more in your grace, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.